Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
You Cannot Say, a poem written by Jay Hatter and put to music and then sung by the poet Shout Even Shy. This is Deborah Lee, and you are listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, and you can find us on the website allpoetry.com. If you're a member or you join, which it's free to do, you can find us under the group tab, again, A Team of Voices. And if you'd like to call in, you can do so by dialing 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And we have radio shows most nights of the week with different hosts and hostesses who put up prompts, and you can find them in the chat wall of the group, as well as on that chat wall we post the poems for the shows that we do each night so that the members can follow along and comment. And you can do so by hanging out in the chat room or by calling in and hanging out with us. Either way, it's awesome. And as long as you keep an eye on the topic boards, which all start by the date, you can find out the topic for each show and write as inspired. At the moment, and for the last several months, we have been on a series where I pull some of the lines from our fellow poets and put them up as poetic inspiration along with an artist or a group of artists to choose photos from. And then you take your art and you take the quote you chose and you write a poem and share it. And tonight, the poet that we're featuring is none other than a Grassman. And his quotes were really, really awesome. And I expect that they'll inspire some really amazing poetry. And one of the things I always look for each week when we do the shows is to see if one's specifically popular. And quite often, there's one that stands out. And I think there's been one show so far where it was all the different quotes. For the rest of them, it just seems like something strikes many of us poets and it gets used quite a bit. So I'm anxious to see which way it goes tonight. And with that said, I think that we should start letting some of the poets that are in the studio in and get this show on the road so we can see what kind of poetry was inspired by a Grassman. So let's open the line for Mr. Wayne Gent. Hello, Wayne. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I am well. How about you?
I can't complain. I got over my depression. Somebody came in last Tuesday and stole my lawnmower I just bought a week ago. So I was kind of depressed the last few days, but I got over it, so I had to buy me another one.
Oh, no.
Yes, sad.
That's terrible, Wayne. That's terrible.
Yeah. Sad.
Did you even get to use it once?
I used it about three times. I bought it about less than a month ago, but I used it three times already, but it's still like new. It actually killed
me. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Not that it makes it any better that you got to use it, but, geez, that's terrible. I'm sorry to hear that.
I get mixed up with mowing the yard, so that's what I do for fun. But anyway, it's part of life.
Yeah, sadly it is, especially nowadays. And let's see, we have 727, and would that be you, Grass?
That is me.
I'm so glad you're here. I didn't know if you'd be able to make it. I know you're...
I'll make it.
I know you're always working, so I wasn't sure if you'd be able to come, so I'm very, very happy that you are here. And, okay, so I know that there's usually Hatter's here with me, but he just got back from Australia this afternoon, California time, and although he was going to try and stay awake, I had a feeling that he would fall asleep, but we shall see how that goes.
Oh, yeah. You can't make that trip without being tired.
Yeah, I think he slept for like 2.5 days when he arrived in Australia and fully expected to have to sleep a day or two when he returned. So, the biggest portion of it is a 14-hour because he went from California to New Zealand and then hopped from New Zealand over to Australia. But the long portion, like I said, is 14 hours. I couldn't even imagine spending that kind of time in a
place.
I don't know how. Yeah, and AP used to run around the world several times a year. Gosh, I don't know how he would do that, but I couldn't, that's for sure. So anyway, Grass, what I'm about to do is I am about to put the quotes that I chose on the chat wall, and I would like you to read them for the record, if that works for you. I'm putting them there right now, and then we will kick off.
And believe it or not, some of these I don't remember. I mean, I'm sure they're in there, but some of these are just like, you know, you're just in the middle of nothing, and you just come up with something.
No, you know, a lot of the different poets have said that. Oh, wow, I wrote that. And I'm like, yeah, it's yours. I picked it from your poetry. So you're not the first one who didn't recognize some of their work. Anyway.
The first one I realized, because this one was kind of like a rant. It's like, it says, day after day, his wrath was buried deep within the layers of willingness to please the unpleasable. And basically, that's a bad customer. I mean, I work at a hotel, and I know where that comes from. So that's where that one came from. The next one is, I lay in the comatose riddles that highlight fear and discolors the shades of black and white. That one I don't remember, but I, you know, I probably something about a sad thing, sounds like. Number three is, black windows smile at the gray sun that speaks in voiceless swallows. That one, I think that's an older poem that I have. I don't know, but I like it. I like the thought of that one. That was pretty good. Number four, I listen to the thunder's echo reverberating my hollowness. I know what this one's about. This is about somebody I love very dearly, and I was upset that day, and I wrote this line along with the poem. So I know that one. And the next one is in one of my favorite poems. It's one I wrote a long time ago about a one-night stand. And it goes, thrift shop clothing and skyline eyes give rise to a fetish to twilight living. The girl I never knew, never met again, but we just had a great night together. So that one was awesome. Sad eyes rake the sunset with flashing blinks. Number seven, eyebrows dance to the lopsided tune of yesterday news. I think I saw a couple of people write about that one. My legs became dangling participles of puppets without strings. And the gnawing feeling of regret shrieks in secondhand times. That was one of my things from like almost a lot of my poems is the regrets that you have in your life. And it doesn't just bark out at you later in life that you did something or you didn't do something that you probably should have done at the time. And number 10, a hand-me-down smile looking for my hat to put money in. And I know what this one was. This was about this girl. I went up to her to ask her out. This was about, I don't know, probably 10 years ago. And she looked at me, and she could tell I didn't have any, you know, I'm not rich or I ain't got no money or nothing. She just, like, looked past me. And that's where that one came from. So hopefully that will give you all some insight as to where my mind was going with some of those.
Geez, I kind of have the urge to call her a witch with a bee in the front of it. I mean, geez.
Yeah.
Kind of messed up, huh? And what was the one that you think a lot? Oh, you looked around and saw some of the. You've been reading some of the poems, so you knew one was written to a few times.
Yeah, I knew a couple people had that one with the. I think it's the eyebrows dance to the lopsided tune of yesterday's news. I think I saw a couple of them had that one.
Yeah, I think I incorporated that one into mine, too, as a matter of fact. But I used quite a few of them in mine. I always have a really, really hard time choosing something, and then I wind up going with many of them, and that's what happened in this case. And, in the meantime, let's say hello to the one and only beautiful Sweet Pea. Hey, Sweet, welcome to the show.
Sweet. Hello.
Hey, Sweet Pea.
Hello. Hey, how are you?
Good.
Glad,
still living.
Glad you're here. Sorry, go ahead, Grass.
I'm doing good.
I want you to do your other interview show. I was out of town. I've been waiting for you to do the second one.
Oh, that's a lot of work.
I know.
But I enjoyed it. It went good. We had two people, and I thought it was pretty good. It came out, when you listen to it, it sounded like a real interview show.
I did listen to it,
that was pretty good.
Yeah, I want to do one with you.
I have to do it like in September, October, because that's when my work schedule gets
opens up.
Not as crazy.
Yeah, okay. Not as crazy. I get that.
That would be really cool, though.
I gotta finish a book by then, or otherwise, you know, I'm gonna get killed by a few people.
All right, I was just counting to make sure I didn't skip any on the list here. Talk for another minute.
Yeah, don't do that. I did that twice, and I felt bad about it months afterwards.
I was very excited. I just got really good scores in the contest I'm in. So that's
great.
What's up with me.
Cool. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I heard a rumor that some of the people are quite impressed, Miss Sweet. Just saying.
I know. I've never done anything like that. Over at the rappers group, I was like, what? Are you kidding me?
No,
it's crazy.
Yeah, no, you definitely made an impression, and I was very, very happy for you because I knew it would make you smile.
It did make me smile.
Here comes Mr. Barks-a-Lot. He's going to give you something, but you got not.
Amadeus is sleeping. Don't do that. You're going to curse me.
You know I picked up another...
I now have a border collie. I don't know what the hell that's.
Oh, my gosh.
So I have 3 Australian Shepherds and a border collie.
What's their name?
What? That's Gunner the border collie.
Oh, Gunner. I guess I didn't realize that he wasn't an Aussie as well. And whatever happened to the dog that you found at the mall? Did the owner ever pop up?
No, he's now Gunner. He's now ours.
I know he has a great home, that's for sure.
Yeah, he never... He wasn't at the mall.
That
dog
just happened to be one of the best things in his life ever.
Yeah, he
the
just
way you treat
turned
your
up dog. At my husband. Yeah, he plays frisbee. He's very good. He was on every dog site, like... from the world, like Find Your Dog in the World site. And we put him on so many sites, people thought we were lying. We got kicked off a site for trying to pimp a dog. I'm like, why would somebody just put a dog out there that wasn't like lost? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, it was stupid.
Well, around like, here, people have a tendency to tie them in a trash bag and throw them out of their car while they're driving down the road, so at least they didn't do that.
Looks like I got my cat.
No.
Yeah, they do.
How can anybody do that to a dog? You can never do that to a dog.
I know, right? The one was a whole litter of cats. I mean, it's terrible.
No.
That
makes me sad.
Yeah, right? All right, well, maybe we should get some poetry going, but before I read, let me let in Ms. Purple Chaos. Hey, Chaos, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad. Glad you're here.
Hello.
Hey, crazy lady. I miss our time doing emo music.
Emo?
Emo and goth and all kinds of old music like that. She had her on her thing. We used to listen to it. She used to have music on there every day on her chaos group.
Total chaos.
Yeah,
well, she's been away for a while, so I'm thrilled that she's back. Maybe she'll have some chaotic stuff going on for you soon.
She's
going
to read the phone book?
That's
I
didn't
know.
Hear from her either.
I saw the
What's
page
that?
There. Ask her again, Gress.
You going to read the phone book?
Am I going to read the phone book?
Yeah, I saw you.
You left the page.
I put that it up
phone?
There. I did throw that up there.
You did.
I did. But I just put that up there to tease you.
I'm a big tease, too.
I put it up there to tease you. Unfortunately, my phone book are hidden away somewhere.
So unfortunately, you'll have to hear me read a poem instead.
All right. We can do that.
Well, that sounds like a really good idea, but I'm sure we would have took listening to the phone book if that's what it, you know, if that's what you were inspired to do, but rather hear a poem. All right, well, let's get some of them going. And as I mentioned, I wrote to, I think, like five of them. I wrote to number 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, and 9. So as I read, you'll notice Gress's words in quotation marks. So if you click on that. I rarely, hardly ever read first, but I'm going to today. And the poem is called Intuition is Red Flag Messages from the Gut. Here we go. Written diary pages tell the tales of two-faced lies, then eyebrows dance to lopsided tune of yesterday's news. As I kick you to the curb, boulders fall off my shoulder, leaving me curled in my chair, weightlifting the blues. Cornflower shoes mark the sky, marked, masked by gunmetal swirls, with dark streaks of plum twirling in whirls of aubergine. I listen to the thunder's echo reverberating my hollowness, mixed with the ping of hail bouncing off the window screen. The gnawing feeling of regret shrieks in secondhand time, ticking with the sparks, that lightning spidering hot white. Shrouds rotate as they float, blocking the sun's amber glow. Then the afternoon grows as dark as the horizon at night. Now rain teems and the black windows smile at the gray sun that speaks in voiceless swallows like silence that screams. Broken by the thump of my pulse as thunder rattles the glass, my sad eyes rake the sunset with flashing blinks and beams. Red flag messages from my gut are confirmed and highlighted by the magnesium moon as it climbs the sky to light the night. But the stars circle the moon. I lay in the comatose riddles that highlight fear and discolor the shades of black and white. Tonight, I'll shampoo all the traces of you out of my hair, then tomorrow the top of my to-do list is reserved just for me. Heading out in snakeskin stilettos and a little black dress, remembering that more than one fish swims in the sea. End poem. And.
Yeah. Gotta get that man out of my hair.
That, yeah, that is where I got it from. Yeah, that washed that man right out. There was just something like your quotes were so hard to choose
from. I know.
Like I said, so I just threw a whole bunch of them in there, and they sort of set up the story, you know, and it was fun to write.
It was good. I liked it. Enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.
I like that you added the part about after the gnawing feeling regret shrieks in the sparks from the lightning spiring hot white. I like that part.
Thank you, Graham.
Because that's basically the how you feel after you regret something, isn't it?
Yeah. Sometimes
Sometimes you
regret the time you invest in a person who turns out to be nothing like you expected them to be, you know?
Yeah. Can't say that about Boston. She was more than I thought.
You guys had a ball.
And Heather.
And, you know? Huh?
And Heather.
Yeah. I haven't talked to her in quite a while. I'm going to have to reach out to her. That's a shame on me. I'm always so swamped. I just haven't talked to her in, like, forever. Yeah. All right. I am going to grab the link.
Come in.
Go right ahead, sir.
I'm not the guy that kicked down the side of the road. He has been bringing descriptions in this poem. I like a whole lot. One of the lines, the dark streaks of plum twirling in whirls of evergreen. I listened to the thunder echo reverberating in my hollowness, mixed with the ping of the hail bouncing off the window screen. That's a very descriptive, great line. And this, you did a cool job reading this, and I enjoyed it a whole lot. Great job.
Thank you very much, Wayne. I appreciate that. And if everybody would click on Kay's link, I'll push her recording. And in the meantime, while we're doing that, I will point out that tomorrow looks like, I thought I saw, okay, tomorrow at Poetic Slice, oh, wow, at 12 p.m. Eastern, they'll be doing a show with some of the links from the Poetry Month topic that Kay put up. It's an annual thing. She puts up a topic board, and then anyone who wants to can participate and stop by every day and put up a poem. And then not only does she feature the poems on it, but she also sends everybody points for participation. So it's really cool, and she gets mega participation from it. And again, that's tomorrow at noon. And then on Wednesday at 7:30, they're doing a Mortuary of Shadows episode where Stephen is featuring the movie The Number 23, a Jim Carrey movie, and there's some quotes and the trailer and stuff to choose from. And then on Thursday is Sky is continuing that May the 4th be with you with another Star Wars topic, and this one is episode 4, A New Hope. And she has a link that will take you to quotes. You can use them, or you can write about the movie itself or one of the characters in the movie. So those are the next three shows coming up at Poetic Slice. And as I said, let's click on that link, and we will listen to Kay. And I don't know if she put it in the recording, so I will say that she wrote to quote 6, Sad Eyes Rake the Sunset with Flashing Blinks. And here comes the recording.
Unpleasantness of Twilight's Freshens, Finds Acceptance, by Kay. Luminosity and gray, sand washed and grits, handle and time. Memories of old blue jeans and nutmeg swiftness shine. Finley golds of manor red, marigolds and wilds, blossoms vine and not eggshelling, as prickly clouds blacksmith and let the eyes focus, hay rides to rainy days, peach the flesh of our grains rippling, river rock blues, conferences the tides and beatitudes. End poem.
Wow, I like the title, Unpleasantness of Twilight's Brushings Finds Acceptance. I think that's a great title. And where was that part? Heather Lee Emeralds as Pebble Beach Day, Memories of Old Blue Jeans in Nutmeg Swiftness Shine. The picture reminds me of how you would save Kay or press it in like the Bible pages. So it's like the flowers are a memory or a memento themselves, and then it takes you back to the old blue jeans and nutmeg swiftness shine. It's like a Pebble Beach Day. There's nothing like a beach day, and then the memories that would come with it. And I like the as prickly clouds, blacksmith, and letting the eyes focus. There's something about the visual of that, of the prickly clouds. Because there are sometimes those ones that look like they have streaks, and those are the ones that it put into my mind when she read the prickly clouds part there. And then the last closing line, River Rock Blues conferences the tides in beatitudes. River Rock Blues, I think that goes perfectly with this artist because there's a bluesy feel to most of his art. And you know, between the instruments and the hat, and there's just something. So I like the images here, and I like the feel, and I like the thoughts that come with that, like I said, Pebble Beach Day. So great brevity, Kay. Thank you so much. And thank you for the recording. Gress, what you think? Gress, are you muted?
Yes, I'm muted. I'm stupid. I thought it was very good. I like the images, and like those images always like things that just that fill up your mind. Like you can always remember like where you were when you first smelled hay. You can feel the first time you saw a good-looking girl in blue jeans. Those images just stick in your head, and I like how she puts all that together in one poem. And like you, I like the wording "prickly clouds." I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, I might use that prickly again somewhere else. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, great comment. And Wayne, will you comment, please?
Sure. I said this is a cool brevity with great phrases. She always has. I like the way the poem started with "Luminous in gray, sand washed in grit, sanding time, heather lay emeralds in a pebble beach day." It's a good way to start the poem out, and the whole poem's got great phrases in it, and it's a wonderful poem. I enjoyed it a lot. Good job, Rick. Hey.
Awesome comment. And KS, you're back. I don't know if you got to hear the poem.
I couldn't hear it. No. I figured out that on my phone I cannot hear any recordings. I have to listen to all the recordings through my tablet. So, and that's kind of hard for me to do in phone, tablet, back and forth. So, I can just read them while we're on. But I do, I love the colors we're used through this. This is just solid colors throughout this, and it just paints the whole thing. Now, River Rock Blues, that's an interesting combination. And the, or was the other one? The Manor Red and Marigolds in the Wind, in the Wild. I love that. But I love colors. I'm sure y'all know that. I think I've run enough color contests over the 15 years I've been on All Poetry to know that I love the people who use colors in their poems. So this was really awesome.
Great comment. Thank you so much. And Stephen's poem is on the board. So if you guys click on there, he sent us a recording as well. So I will push play. And in the meantime, before I push play, let's say hello to AP Taylor. Hey, AP, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hi.
AP.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
Well, how about you?
I'm pretty good. Thank you.
Well, you're just in time to hear Stephen's recording. I'm about to push play. So here we go with that.
You Can't Put On What You Don't Have by Stephen 76. Coffee black or sugar and cream and bacon extra crispy. To side of taters with sunny eggs and wheat toast. Pocket watch memories beneath a keeve so wispy. Of breakfast air-veiled striped bass catching boast. End poem.
Well, he had me at bacon. Oh, I kind of got stuck there between the coffee and the bacon. It was just like, oh, me. And I'm allergic, so I shouldn't have it. But, man, sometimes you do it anyway. You can't put on what you don't have. What a great title. And, Gress, I don't know if you know, but Stephen started not all that long ago with coming up with four-line poems that scored a 10 with AutoRank. And now he's up to 51 of them, and he can pack so much into these four-line poems. And I have to tell you, it might sound like, okay, but it's hard. It took me try after try after try to get the one lonely little four-line 10 that I have, and I haven't tried again since because, again, it's really hard. but he makes it look easy because he keeps spitting them out. And I like this one because, you got the image there, and there's a pocket watch, and there's a cup of coffee, and what looks like the newspaper, like, you know, reading your morning coffee, and you're having that coffee and the bacon extra crispy, which I don't even want it if it's not extra crispy. Nobody wants limp bacon, at least I don't. So he got me there. And then the pocket watch memories, I love that phrase because it sort of combines nostalgia with sentiment, with the sentimentality of the memories. So I think that that's a brilliant phrase. So I think that between the images, the thought of the smell of the bacon and the coffee, it was like a mega treat for the senses there. And the quote he chose was, "Eyebrows dance to the lopsided tune of yesterday's news." So, yes, okay, so it is a newspaper. So and yesterday also ties into those pocket watch memories. So I think that this was quite a brilliant for line 10. And I appreciate the poem and the recording, Stephen. Thank you very much. And, Gress, what you think?
I like it. Four lines, and it says so much. I think what gets me is those times that you have with your dad and your grandfather, and just that closeness you have as a family. You only have a handful of those times, at least for me, you only had a handful of those times together, just because my grandfather died when I was 10 years old on my dad's side. And we only had maybe, I don't know, four or five times we got to go to his house when he was, you know, alive. And just that time together just kicks your memory in. You hold those times precious. And I like what he did there with the four lines. I thought that invoked all those memories back, for me at least. I know it did. So good job, Stephen.
Great comment. And Wayne?
Yes, I said, wow, striped bass for breakfast. Never had it, but I wish I had. This is a tasty poem with the four lines. Are still amazing that you could do the level 10 rating. I'm trying, but I haven't made it yet, but I'm not giving up. This is a wonderful poem, Stephen. I appreciate it a lot. Good job.
They're hard, right? You'll get one, Wayne.
I'm trying.
You'll get one. Sweet, you're the next reader. You want to comment for Stephen's poem?
Absolutely. First off, I was mooted. First and foremost, the whole stopwatch line blows me away. It's got to be one of my favorites. Got that Alice in Wonderland kind of feel. But again, the whole four lines, I am trying to figure out how to make a comment that's shorter than the poem. And I have yet to figure that out. So when I do, I expect applause from Stephen, and that's never going to happen yet. So I'm working on that, Stephen. I'm really, really trying. But fabulous is an imagery, concept, and all of that. Perfect. Oh, wow. Okay.
It is funny. Sometimes we make bigger comments on the poems than the poems themselves, you know? But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I wrote two. Aggressive, the regret line, and I just bumped myself out of our room. Why, I don't know, but I went to read that line and went back to the quote and sent it back to our room. And go back to the room. So I hope you enjoy, sir. This is Backseat Memories. Cashmere lies whisper softly into 5 o'clock shadows. The cantering sunset fades into an amber moon blue sky. The dance hall is full of half-truths, lawsuits, waltzing with false memories. While wildflower dreams stand along the back wall inside. Warp mahogany tables dressed in antiquated yellow tablecloths meet haggard men for the evening with burning throat desires. Their eyes watch the sweat beads glide down the amber bottles with whiskey poured and moonshine sipped, a hot jazz notice played. the whiskey-soaked passion's ways, the shy to play, bonfire beauties burned, embers to flame, and silver trumpets continued to blow tones of wanting. As poker chips and tempers grew hotter than the New Orleans night, cigar smoke and cigarette ash sculpted wooden decor, as crowds sways to a melodic mean like seduction, and silver trumpets slide sultry sexual salutations, and as drunken hands fondle redress and vintage back feet. And home.
Backseat memories. I like the title there. It sets you up for nostalgia. But backseat, I was like, Cashmere lies, whisper softly, 5 o'clock shadows. It's funny because I you have the Cashmere lies, and I had lies in my poem. So it's, we all write so differently, but sometimes where we're led to has similarities, and tonight we do. Where was that? Warped Mahogany Table.
Oh, I'm sorry, I wrote, like, I went and did a different quote. I put the wrong quote in my poem. I started with that one and then the other one. Sorry.
That's okay. What was the one that you changed your mind to?
I changed it to the regret one. I started with the hollow one, hollow mission, and I changed it to this one. I apologize. Go ahead, Deb. I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. I wanted you to have a chance to say that you changed the quote. The warped mahogany tables dressed in antique yellow tablecloths meet haggard men for the evening. With burning throats' desires, their eyes watch the sweat beads glide down the amber bottles. You know, those antique yellow tablecloths, sometimes when you see a scene at, like, Blues Club, and they have them from the cigar smoke and stuff. They, aside from yellowing in their, is antiqueness a word? From their antiqueness, they also pick up the nicotine and stuff from the cigars and whatnot. So it really set the tone there. And the whiskey-soaked passion sways the shy to play. Bonfire beauties burned embers to flames. I love the imagery that you put all through this, and it was like you took us into the room with you and then set the tone and told us through your descriptions what was there and what you were seeing, and even the scents. Like I could almost smell the cigarette smoke and hear the ice clinking in the glasses and stuff like that. So it was an atmospheric poem, and I liked it very much. Great
Thank
job.
You.
Gress,
Thank
what you think?
I was thinking, like, you know, it reminds me of those old times we used to go to VFW places with my dad back in the day. They'd have these back room bars, and, you know, they'd always, like, you know, play poker and smoke cigars and drink whiskey and just have a good time. And the ladies would come in there and strut their stuff and kind of, like, you know, tease them a little bit. And it brought me back to those memories back in that. I mean, nowadays, I guess it wouldn't be politically correct, but nobody's hurt. Nobody did anything. It was a cool time back in the day. And I feel the ambience of that era of, like, you know, where you would make out in the backseat of the car. You know, you would do things like that because, you know, you couldn't take her home, you couldn't take her house, so the car is the best place to, you know, do all kinds of stuff.
Oh,
very
yeah.
Good. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Chaos?
I had to unmute myself. I really enjoyed this. This takes me back to, like, hole-in-the-wall bars in New Orleans. One of my favorite
yes,
places to be. It was when I was drinking. I love the descriptions. They're they're so detailed that it really puts you in the place. I'm sorry, I got distracted while I was muted. I have a little child. Okay, she's not going away anymore, but she was behaving so. But anyway, I had to reread.
I totally understand.
But anyway, I do. I, having been in a little hole in the wall bars in New Orleans with the jazz playing and I can almost like smell the whiskey and hear the jazz and all of that while I'm reading this, and I'm like, it's almost nostalgic for me. So I really enjoy.
They are wonderful little places.
Awesome comment. And AP, will you comment and then tell us what quote you wrote to and read for us?
Sure. Really, really nice place. I just, sometimes you go to a stanza and you want to read the stanza, but this one's more the sort of gestalt of it, that it just fits together beautifully. It's like you went and constructed this sort of taste and smell and feel and sense of the bar and what was going on there and put it down on the page and did it quite beautifully.
Thank you, AP. I really appreciate that.
Okie dokie. Well, progress. It's number 10, which is a hand-me-down smile looking for my hat to put money in. This is once a jester, and it goes a little bit like this. Once there was a jester, but long gone his handed-down guile. Within deep did that hatred fester, rains instead poured down with bile. In acid realms were caught, within storms a gathering of thunder. Screw someone without a thought, after all trust wasn't your blunder. Your fears burn to drink, and those hands, they often tremble. Within the time of a languid wink, mind as body, itinerant resemble. Introduced to ready bucks, that's the way gambling is now sold. While the swirling water it sucks, all that glitters, a long way off gold. And that water gathers, till sweeps away many random things. A long time since soap lathers, those rich have many bits of bling. Yet each droplet carries dregs, a small piece of the person once there. The door simply is used to beg, and my smile, I sold that somewhere. End poem.
Well, you know, I have to say that this poem speaks perfectly to the quote you chose. The details are wicked. Geez, I don't know if I could pick a favorite. In acid realms, we're caught with storms, a gathering of thunder. Screw someone without a thought after all trust wasn't your blunder. And the other part, introduced to ready bucks, that's the way gambling is now sold. While the swirling water and sex, all that glitters a long way off. I lost my place. A long way off gold. Now, of course, there's the amazing rhyme and flow that you always have, but there's a hard-hittingness to this. There's the power of how people can be and what you see in a person, and the descriptions that come from your observations. I think that this was, like I said, you look at that poem where it's a hand-me-down smile looking for my hat to put money in, and sometimes the people like are on a street corner and they have their hat there and maybe they're playing a musical tune and you throw in some coins, or they hold out their hat in just the expectation that you'll the people going by will give them money, almost as if they're entitled to it. I think this was awesome. And Gress, what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of, like, my thing is like, we often walk by people that are asking for money. And I think what got me is, like, when he says, and the acid realms were caught within storms gathering of thunder. And those acid realms, you know, I'm thinking hell, because no one knows what another person's going through. And then he says, screw someone without a thought. After all, trust wasn't your blunder. In other words, it wasn't your fault they're in their position that they're in. What does it matter? Kind of like that thing. And then your fears burn to drink, and those hands often tremble within the time of blink or wink. Mind is body isn't to resemble. I love that part because it's often after everything goes on, and once you think about all your situations, you never know how far you are from that other person that is sitting there with nothing. Because one bad health diagnosis, one bad paycheck, one something could happen, and you're going to be there too. So I love this poem. It makes a lot of sense, and I really appreciate it. Good job.
Thank you, Chris.
Great comment. And Sweet, what do you think?
Well, it's AP, so, you know, I love it. Gotta find the line that I don't know why I keep switching back to the subject and not the theme or the poem. So I don't know why I keep. I love the title. And the picture. Introduced to Reddy Bucks, that's the way gambling is now sold, while the swirling water shuts all that glitters a long way off. I kind of think, in the essence of the world, as far as gesture goes, I think that the whole world right now betting on something, fool's fool, what's the next thing we can do. I just kind of thought that because of all the problems going on in the world with money, that we're all running around in fool's gold right now. And I don't know why it hit me that way, but that particular stanza, the gesture and gold and, you know, with the fear and Reddy Bucks, and I don't know, I really like that particular stanza in this poem. Because you got to be aware of what somebody's trying to sell you.
Thanks, Wick.
Great comment, my sweet. And, sweet, how long are you staying?
A few more minutes. What you need from me?
Well, I was going to say, before I get Wayne to comment and then read, why don't you push your show?
My show is for Thursday night, starting at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, United States of America. It's about being trapped. Are you trapped in your mind? Are you trapped in a moment of time you can't get over? What's trapping you from moving forward or keeping you in that certain place? Do you feel trapped physically through your body, you know? Are you trapped with your education or is your muse blocking you? Those situations where you feel trapped. Are you afraid of being trapped in an elevator? Are you claustrophobic? So anything you can associate with the word kind of trapped along. Just kind of thought we'd use that word, see where things see in the world. I've been trapped for a long time taking care of people and other things, and I'm kind of out of that trap, and I'm not sure where to go. So my mind is still trapped in a situation I was just released from. So trying to figure out how to free my mind to get out of what was a habitual place to be in. So trapped is the word of the week for me. So come join me, see how we can get past the trap or we can recognize the traps for me.
Sounds very interesting, my dear, and thank you much. And Wayne, will you comment for AP and then tell us
what... Yeah, I'll be there, sweet. I'll be there to show sweet. Okay, you described the hell of gambling wonderfully in this poem. Every stanza is touching and almost heartbreaking. I love the ending especially. Wonderful job. I'm not a gambler, but for a 7-card stud on the web with fake money, and I still get mad when I lose, get upset. So the gambling is a bad thing to get involved with, and this poem was just a great, great poem about gambling that I like a whole lot. Good job.
Thank you, Mike.
And my poem that's coming up now, when I did this poem, it came out, and I got through with it, and I just said this stuff. I thought, man, this is a nice poem. I really like the way this poem came out that y'all getting ready to hear. I hope you like it, too. But it's about being on top and looking down at everybody and how bad it can be. So hope you enjoy it.
And what was the quote that you wrote to?
Well, I used the one with the shades of black and white, the comatose, I have to look at the comatose, whatever it is, with the black and white at the end of it. I found it.
I lay in the comatose riddles that highlight beer and discolors the shades of black and white.
That's it.
Okay. All right. Now I shall push your recording. Here we go.
This is called The Emptiness Looking Down. My lights have dimmed since becoming a star, not enjoying the simplest thing like a cigar. No thrill waits for me to seek and devour, praying I have not seen my finest hour. To shudder, thinking what placed me here, I lay in a comatose riddles that highlight fear and discolors the shades of black and white. No longer knowing what determines if I am right. Masses follow when I'm not sure which way to go. Doesn't matter what I do, it's only a production show. No one to trust, can't find that heart of gold. For the love of money, it's their souls they sold. No time to dream or laugh out loud, only to wake, standing before a crowd. Not living to please and no goals to reach. They can't say no and dare not preach. Never did I expect to live in such fame, and its depression has no end game. Not wanting to look forward, scared to look back, surrounded by friends waiting for a chance to attack. Can't stand the times I am left alone. Wish the glory gained was never known. There's no peace sitting here at the top, and no plug to pull to make it stop. In.
Okay, for starters, Wayne, awesome background choice. That bluesy twang going on back there absolutely added to the ambiance there. The emptiness looking down, there's such a sadness to the thought of the emptiness there. My lights have dimmed since becoming a star, not enjoying the simplest things like a cigar. No thrill waits for me to seek and devour, praying I have not seen my finest hour. And you could literally think that that's the opening stanza there with the thoughts of the guy in the photo there. He's sitting there having his cigar, and it was very much like the narrative of the man, and you're in his head, and you're telling us what's happening there. And towards the middle, masses follow when I'm not sure which way to go. Doesn't matter what I do. It's only a production show. No one to trust. Can I find the heart of gold for the love of money, with their soul, they've sold. Powerful thoughts there, and like leaving me wonder about all the different people that for money have sold their soul, and some of the things that people will do for money, and power, and the people that you would hurt and step on and not give a second thought. Never did I expect to live in such fame, and this depression has no end game. Like I said, between the words as you read them and the feel of the music as it played, there was another poem where you set the atmosphere for us and then took us on a journey through the mind of the artist, the singer, the blues guy, and the star in the art. And I think that it spoke excellently to those comatose riddles that you chose for our quote. I think this is one of my favorites of yours, Wayne. An amazing job.
Great song.
Yeah, I think it... Chris, what do you think?
That's the blues, Spawn.
That is the blues.
That was awesome, man. I was enthralled. I loved the way you had the background music going. You was like, I felt like I just needed to be in the bar sipping the whiskey along with you, man. Awesome.
That's it.
Awesome job, man.
Thank you, guys.
Really,
man.
Really, really appreciate that. That was awesome. I think that's my favorite from you, too. I think that's my favorite one I've heard you do.
Yeah,
damn
that.
Good.
Thank you, man. Good comment.
AP, what you think?
I agree with Grace. I thought it was a terrific poem, Wayne. I love the music choice. And I love the perspective of what you wrote and where you took the poem. I just thought it was a brilliant poem. What?
Thanks a lot, man. It's great hearing from you. Appreciate the comment.
Awesome comment. And Chaos, what you think?
I'm impressed I could actually hear that. I actually got to hear that one. It came in loud and clear. I have to agree, the music was perfect for it. It just really set the tone for it. The poem, really impressive. I don't know. I'm just
speechless. I like speechless.
Struck dumb here. Trust me. You and I haven't known each other for very long. When I don't know what to say, that's a good thing. I have no idea what to tell you.
Appreciate the comment.
It's good.
Thank you very much. Glad you like.
Awesome. Awesome comments, everyone. And hey, Gress, I put your poem on the board. How about you read for us?
Well, it's a little bit of a ditty, and I didn't pick a quote since I wrote all those quotes. So, I like the picture, though. I really do. I like the picture because that's how I wish I could be right there. So we'll go. We'll try it. Here it goes. Just another day. I stretch my fingers to cover the keys, playing the familiar blues, beginning with the song that I keep in my head, containing all the bad news. Let me sing you a few bars. When the daylight ends and the night comes, it's the time I fear as the loneliness sings. In a broken voice, I've been here many times before. I write in my journal and ward off the pain, but I still remain comatose with the notes to play, all of them blues. Just another day, baby. Just another day. I sing off key and a little shaky, sipping the amber neat as I croon to the cats in the other room, telling them my sadness. Just another day, baby. Just another day. Each day goes by with another sigh, living a lie till the day I die. Why can't I get someone that loves me, one that holds me in bad times, calms me in distress? It's just another day, baby. Just another day.
Awesome. And, you know, Gress, this is an artist that Sky Darkholm had sent me a couple photos of. And
yeah,
it was
just love
like,
it.
Yeah, and when I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, this is fantastic. And I went and I grabbed more from him. And you know what it is? The first time I saw a picture of you that wasn't the White Wolf, you were in that hat. And it just screamed. Yeah, and it just screamed Gress. This art. I screamed you. So I'm glad you liked it.
I love blue.
And there's usually, even if nobody else can understand it, there's usually a method to my madness, and it had to be you for this particular artist. So I meant to say it at the beginning, but thank you again for sharing this artist, Sky. I appreciate it very much. And your poem is really cool, and I liked where you mentioned breaking out into song. And then you had a little bit of that Elvis-y voice come out in you, and you as you were going. I like right from
day,
the get-go.
Yeah,
there you go. I like how you kick off. I stretch my fingers to cover the keys, playing the familiar blues, beginning with the song I keep in my head, containing all the bad news. Let me sing it. Let me sing you a few bars. And it was just... It works perfectly with the photo. And there's something about I stretch my fingers to cover the keys because, you know, you see them often. You'll see the piano player sit down and they'll do this thing with their fingers and you can hear them crack some. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of what I heard as you read the I stretch my fingers part. But what I did also notice that there was a playfulness in your voice as you were reading, and just another day, baby, just another day. The repeat of that
Guide
made
it through.
Very lyrical. So, yeah. So I thought you did awesome. Fantastic share. And let's see, Wayne, what you think?
That's it. A wonderful poem for just another day. Great flow. I love the rhyme. This is the way to look at life. Just another day. Great, great, great poem. You split the blues all over the place. I love this poem, and I can't tell how good it was. It's a wonderful poem, and had a great mood to it, and great, great poem. I love it. Great job there, Edgars, man.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome. Comment and AP?
Yeah, look, it's got real style, hasn't it? I mean, it just sort of felt like, you know, you were sitting there listening to the piano sort of play away and the night sort of fall around you, and it had a lovely sense of style, Gress.
Thank you. I love the blues, man. If there's one thing that can capture just about anybody's melancholy, it's the blues. It can go anywhere and take your mind off things, for sure. You know, it's not so bad when you hear other people singing. They got the bad things going on too.
Yeah. No, very well done.
Awesome. And Chaos, will you comment for Gress and then read your poem for us?
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Crane. The refrain is awesome. My favorite part is I sing off key and a little shaky, sipping the amber neat as I croon to the cats in the other room. I love that part. Sipping the amber neat. That phrase right there is way cool.
That's my boy. That's why I got to get my maker's mark in there.
Aha. And Chaos, I went and got yours, and I put it on the board. So if you would tell us
right.
which quote you wrote to, and then show us what you got.
Okay. It's called Did They Know When They Named Her from the Headlines. Quote I used is, eyebrows dance to the lopsided tune of yesterday's news. And the picture reminded me of a friend from college. And they, her parents actually named her from the headlines off the newspaper the day she was born.
Wow.
Her first name was Jacqueline, and her middle name was Presley.
Oh, my God.
She was named after Jacqueline Kennedy and Elvis Presley. So, but anyway.
Jiminy Crickets.
But she was quite a character. She was quite wonderful. I kind of feel a bit in there about her. But anyway, this picture just struck me as a bit of her character. So here is, did they know when they named her from the headlines? Captivating. She owned the room when she walked in, painting every eye in her colors, catching every breath to sing her song, and the hearts to beat her drum. Can't be. The world's a dance floor where she expressed herself through every gesture, every smile, each movement making all others look as if they'd never learned a step. Captivating. Peers, fine by line, head tilted in a peaceful pose, curls tumbling from a hat of her own unique style.
Awesome. And you know where the captivating by itself is, like, it stands out, and it's just, I love that you started there, because it's like she's captivating. She owned the room when she walked in, painting every eye in her colors. I love, love, love the beginning there. But there's just something about starting with captivating and then explaining why. I think that's fantastic. And then can't be, the world, a dance floor, where expressed herself through every gesture, every smile, like further explaining what it is that why she's so captivating, because she's just, everything she does captivates people. And then towards the end, head tilted in a peaceful pose, curls tumbling from a hat of her own unique style. I just like how you totally zeroed in on her, and from start to finish, you said she was captivating, and then you proved it and told us why. I think that it speaks perfectly to the quote, to the picture. And there's something in her, like that side look there, where you could imagine that she's winking with the eye that doesn't really show up in the art, which would also be more towards her captivating nature there, catching every breath. So I think you did a fantastic job with this. Awesome share.
Yeah.
What you think, Russ?
I always think back to those times when you go to a party and there's always somebody there that you, everybody just gravitates towards. She's the it girl. It's just like, she didn't matter who you were, she just made you feel like you was important too. And she always included you in everything they did do. And I remember a few of those women that never talked down to you, never made you feel small, just made you feel great to be alive and just would dance. I mean, there's one thing that I love more than just dancing. And now I'm not the greatest dancer, but there's nothing better than being a little bit tipsy and out there on the floor and somebody just telling you just to keep going for it. So I really enjoyed that. It brought back good memory for me. So I appreciate it. Good job on that, right?
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Wayne?
Yes, I said, Star is Born. She took the stage and did a great job. Nothing could stop her. She was a separate performance. I love the stanza where she said, the world is a dance floor, where expressed herself through every gesture, every smile, each movement, making all the look as if they never learned a step. I can feel the mood of this girl in your voice and when you read it, and she showed that she had a lot of class, and she showed it off well. Great job, this poem. I liked it a whole lot.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. Let's see what we got coming up next. Okay. The next poem was written to, quote, seven eyebrows dance to the lopsided tune of yesterday's news. And this one needs a reader. Gress, how about if you read it?
All right, where am I at? By Oliver?
Yes, sir.
All right, and this one is Eyebrows Dance to the Lopsided Tune of Yesterday's News. Oliver Mallet, and it's called, the title is Packages. What brines the bones marinates in the bristling, like a painting caricatures, the colors are. Through days of wheat, the steps weep, yet never become ash. Planks waterlogged, echoes breaching, and clinks of glasses in poor mist. Steep stirring in sugared mugs, sweetener to appease, are the grains at the temptifying hearthstone. Wow. I didn't mess it up. Listen, tongue twister in that, but it's very good. I like it a lot. Steep stirring in sugared mugs, sweetener to appease. I like it. I'm trying to synthesize it and try to understand it a little bit more, but I really like how you phrase this. Wording in here is really good. Like, through days of wheat, the steps weep, yet never become ash. Planks waterlogged, I'm thinking like on a dock, out there, and the echoes are breaching it. In other words, I'm getting the visualization of like a dock and the water's coming over the wood, right? And then it's clinks and glasses and pour of mist is kind of like, you know, you have maybe a party of some type because you're the water that you're making out in the, you know, is causing the waterlogged plank. Very good. It really makes you think. I really like it.
Awesome comment. And yeah, Oliver's fairly new, and he is definitely a brevity poet, and he can pack a lot into them, like what brines the bones marinades in the bristling, like a painting caricature. There's something about that I really, really like. And I was looking to see which art he wrote to. Okay, makes total sense as far as the caricature line, and I'll put that up on the chat wall now so you can see what I meant by that. Because a caricature is a very specific description, and I was like, and I couldn't for the life of me think of what the art was that he wrote to. But now that I took a peek, which here it is, it fits, like, you know, the mime, he's usually acting something out, and caricature works perfectly there. And the steep stirring in sugared mugs, sweetener to appease. I like that, and I like the tempifying hearthstone. So some great metaphors in there. Thank you, Oliver, for sending that in, and thank you, Gress, for reading it. And Wayne, what you think?
I said, this is a nice brevity. The clinking of glasses in cooler mist is a wonderful touch. And she, you have a touch of abstract in the poem that brings the poem to light. Every line can conjure up a conversation, so it's a wonderful. I like what she said, steep stirring in sugared mugs. That's just a cool little phrase there, too. I love the whole poem all the way through. There's great phrases in it, and it's interesting, to say the least. I liked it.
Awesome comments. And Kaya? Chaos, you still here? Well, maybe she's muted or the studio says she's here.
Sorry, I got distracted.
That's
there
okay.
A shiny squirrel.
Butterflies.
Shiny keys.
Evie, the shiny squirrel went by. So, if I was asked to comment, I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Wayne, will you comment?
Well, I would, but I just commented about a minute or two ago.
That's what I get for trying to do too many things at once because I couldn't
I
couldn't find the poem. I found it now. I couldn't find the poem for Pee-wee. What the link he put was for his sound instead of for the poem, and I didn't know what the title was. So, okay, sorry about that. Thank you for commenting, everyone, and thank you, Oliver, for sending in the poem. Appreciate it very much. And if you guys will click on Pee-wee's link that I just added to the board, I will put his SoundCloud up. And he wrote He wrote to Sad Eyes Rake to Sunset with Flashing Blinks and Eyebrows Dance to the Lopsided Tune of Yesterday's News and A Hand-Me-Down Smile Looking for My Hat to Put Money In. So those three are his inspiration. And I will go push play on his SoundCloud.
Muldaney.
I sat listening to the thunder's echo reverberating my hollowness and watching the black windows smile at a gray sun that speaks in voiceless swallows. Flat foot my entire life and it was my damnedest just to be my wife and boy. It was quite depressing. Suppose that's why they call it the Great Depression. As I sat there, it happened. A sign or an omen or whatever you want to call it, I knew it as providence. Sitting with the wife drinking coffee and a rock comes in through the front room window, nearly hitting my father who just lay there on the couch, his sad eyes always raking the sunset with flashing blinks. It was all he did anymore, as life had beaten him down, as day after day his wrath was buried deep within the layers of willingness to please the unpleasable. Police officer himself for his life, he was retired by some mug who saw fit to murder a child and put a bullet into his spine. Now he just lay there, rising or down, the great, staring into space and waiting to die. Thinking, my eyebrows danced to the lopsided tune of yesterday's news. Thinking of how I never wanted to end up like Pops or leave my family like this. Basically just a hand-me-down smile looking for my hat to put money in. Looking again at the rock, which had a note attached to it, I already knew who the note was from. Quickly, I stuck my hand in my pocket so the family don't see. My name is Roger Muldaney Jr. I'm going to see Dave the Greek. End poem.
Another one with some awesome blues music playing in the background to add to the enhancement of the poem. And man, oh man, let me see here. It was quite depressing. Suppose that's why they called it the Great Depression. As I sat there, it happened, a sign or an omen or whatever you want to call it. I knew it is providence. I thought that was very... like it fit the time period, and then where's the police? Here we go. Police officer himself for life. He was retired by some mug who saw it fit to murder a child and put a bullet into his spine. Now he just lay there. And oh my goodness, the sadness and the empathy I feel for the police officer who's now, you know, haunted by it. He retired by the mug who, man, put a bullet into his spine. Now he just lay there so, so, so sad. And it speaks of the prompts and the thought of yesterday's news. You could almost picture the headlines, officer shot, and then, you know, the spinal injury that took him out, all combined to be such a sad and tragic poem. I think that this is one of my favorites from Pee Wee as well. It's so powerfully emotional. And you know, there are a variety of the quotes that were used tonight, but in most cases, the one common denominator is the ache and the blues and the sadness that was inspired by the poems tonight. Fantastic, Pee Wee, fantastic. And Gress was up way past his bedtime, and he's got to be at work, and he was falling asleep in his chair, so I'm sure he'll finish commenting tomorrow. But Wayne, what did you think?
I said, wow, what a storyline. This is sad to tell the story of the Depression days of the disabled father, which is the next policeman, and you're flat-footed your entire life and barely able to feed your family. There's so much emotion in this poem, and life was hard back then, but you put another level of sadness on the era. I'm still shaking my head. I love the SoundCloud, I love the poem, and a lot of emotion in this, and I like the whole lot there. Pee Wee, you did a great job.
Awesome comment. And Kaya?
This is really really a cool poem in the storytelling. I'm really no good at the storytelling type of poetry. The most I've ever done was the one I did the other night with the tower thing. But I'm always impressed when people can do that, tell a story with their poetry. And this is really awesome in a way that it tells the whole story here. And does it with a poetic voice. So I really enjoyed this. As depressing as it is, I enjoyed this. That's really hard to say. I enjoyed this. It was very depressing. Of course, I enjoyed dark poetry, so I guess you can say that. Good job, Julie.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much. And
becoming
I
a big
am,
fan of his.
And his recordings are really excellent, too. He's also fairly new to the group, and I'm very happy that he moseyed along. All right, if you click on the next one, it's by Jenny the Deep, and I will read for her. And I'm trying to see, okay, the quote is, "And I listen to the thunder's echo reverberating my hollowness." And the poem is called "Breaking Free from the Scratching Shackle That Is Your Web of Lies." Jenny the Deep. Here we go. Tell my gray mind to be like brass and shine, to free myself from your chiffon web of lies. In time, soon maybe I will find that I too am worth every single dime. Stuck struggling in your golden shackles, scratching and suffocating me, slowly starting to unravel, imprecisely vindicating you, justifying your deeds. Sad eyes raked the sunset with flashing blinks as my legs became dangling participles of puppets without strings. Laying here nearly scrambled in pieces, shattered like a mirror, my self-esteem, as does its value, decreases, yelling at me from across the hall. I'm in the fetal position, feeling piteously small. You hurry out the door like a mouse scurrying, as I lay here rippled to shreds on the thistle floor, hurting. Running back through the broken door, you return to damage me some more. escaping, crawling between your legs, weary and weak, I'm able to yell out and beg. Unfortunately, the neighbor's mowing his lawn and the kids are all playing in the sun. I listen to the thunder and his footsteps reverberating my hollowness. No one hears my scream as you drag me across the glass so well. Through the darkened maze, this is now my bloody hell. Adding salt to my wounds, I begin to snap. My breath is shortened by your grasp, tight enough to crack my windpipe, losing my voice and my fight. Luckily, your grip slips, letting me yell out again, finally able to breathe, hearing sirens. Filled with hope, seeing you in the back seat of the police cruiser for me, it's a good feat, moving on without you, now in a safer place. Never again will you find me or recognize my face. End poem. Wow, the power here has me choked up. The thought of the terror that she's feeling as she's being drugged through the glass, the screams that go unheard, the fear that must be part of that, you know? I can't really pick one favorite part because the scene here is just, it keeps going and it's gripping and it's sad and it's scary and it's, you just want to be able to reach in and help and you want somebody to hear her and you want somebody to help her and I think that this was a powerhouse and it was my honor to be your reader, Jenny. Like I said, I can't express enough how powerfully it hit me as I tried to keep my composure and read for you. Great share. Wayne, it's just you and me. What you think?
Well, I said, this is a wonderful lady trying to come to terms with the life with a low-life creep. Emotions is perfect, and the scripture's heartbreaking, and she finally escaped from the hell. Great ride with pure emotions. I'm glad the poem ended well. I was hurting her for a while, and I finally could breathe it when I found out she was safe at the end of the poem. It was a good ride and a fantastic poem. Man, you did a great job with this, Jenny. Good job.
Great comment. Yeah, I agree. Wow. I hope I did that read justice because it was definitely a powerhouse here.
Well, you did.
All right, let me see. Oh, good. Thank you. I got one, two. Wayne, do you feel like reading or?
I'll try to read. I mean, I practice it lately. I can read sometimes, so maybe we'll see what I can do with it. Whose is it? Where is it?
It's Angels.
Angel, I still do things. It's an experience in life to see what I can do with it. Hope she'll kill me. It's called Experiencing Life with You. Each life experience, miracles are fortunate to receive, should add an ounce of measure to our quality of life. To my heart, you whispered your presence, spoke my soul with more than one can hear. Softly, you touched upon what is beautiful and special. Gnawing feeling of regrets, shrieks in secondhand time. I will get nothing for each experience brought you to me. I want to write our life on parchment, bind our life to yours. Two hearts beating and believing in just one love, one life, our life. Again.
For you, Wade. Yeah. And there was a tenderness there, experiencing life with you. Each experience, miracles we are fortunate to receive. I love that, miracles we are fortunate to receive. Because not everybody gets to experience love, especially the kind that Angel often writes about. And towards, it's like the third, the gnawing feeling of regret shrieks in secondhand time. I regret nothing for each experience brought you to me. The romantic undertones that ooze from the thought of every experience that brought him to her is really powerful. And I say it every week because it's true. It's an award-winning poem. She rarely brings a poem that doesn't win an award or many before it's showtime. I think that this is excellent, and it speaks well to the art and the quote, which is what the gnawing feeling of regret shrinks in secondhand time. So an excellent piece, Angel. Appreciate it very much. And great read, Wayne. What you think of the poem?
I said, this is another love poem that warms the heart. You show your love in your poetry. And as I said before, I wish I could feel the love that you have one more time before my life before I die. I love the poem and I love the poet. Great job with this.
Awesome comment. And let's see here. Okay, I think the ones that remain all have recordings. Let me double check. Phil, Gerald, and Titus. So we've got three left, and they all have recordings. So let me put the one by Titus on the board. And I see Jenny. Thank you, Jenny. I'm glad that I did it justice for you. Okay. If you click on the link, Titus' quote was, day after his wrath was buried deep within the layers of willingness to please the unpleasable. And here comes. Oh, wait a minute. Hatter's here. Let me let him in.
Unmuted.
Hatter.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I figured you would. I had mentioned that, you know, you had just got back from Australia and all. Even Gress said that he would have been shocked if you hadn't fallen asleep. But you're just in time for the last couple poems. So I'm about to play Titus. Have a listen.
Hey, Gress.
He had to go. He was falling asleep in his chair.
Oh, okay.
A double bass last stands, held beside a silent stair to remind you by, the double bass had idled somewhat upon the longest wait. There begins a slow sigh in which to draw a bow, by then it had gone, as tried may explain the lowliest times. A bass, alas, the sound was now down low, so low in fact it was, a somber climb, to find that lowly pitch, I dare say, do, harmless as will it lighten the heavy lay, the weight of any heartbreak I'll beware, until the day break through to the end of the day, time moves on, with a moment to spare, a double bass it was, and I, it stooge, raising my hand it plucked a timber note, before it raised all hope it'd be this huge, an encore, with a shirt and tiny waistcoat. Resounding praise upon the heavy load, I doubt the bass had hardly said a word before there was the willingness to goad a conscious thought which it overheard. The warmth of heart has felt it had been touched upon these laurels, though thought would lay a restful palm. Able and keen, and must I remain so ungainly in thought? Behold, all doubt does movement allow until it cannot move no more. A stand to which to make the curtain call now raises a question a bow will command.
Wow. A double bass last stand. I love that title. Held beside a silent stare to remind you by, the double bass had idled somewhat upon the longest wait. There begins a slow sigh in which to draw a bow by the eyed gone. I like, there was something in the tone of his voice too, as he was reading, the lowliest times. So there, it was like a sadness in his voice. And then he mentions the double bass again, about the one, two, three, four, the fourth stanza, double bass it was, and I, it's stooge. And there's something so extraordinarily sad about the thought of being made to feel like a stooge. Raising my hand, it plucked a timbre note. Before it raised all hope, it had been this huge, an encore with a shirt and tiny waistcoat. There was just, like I said, between the lines, you could feel the sadness, and there's something in the face in the art, like he's not looking out from under his hat. So there's a sadness in the art as well. And then towards the end, the warmth of heart has felt it had been touched upon these laurels. Though thought would lay a restful palm, able and keen, and I must remain so ungainly and taut. And it's just between the thought of the stooge and the ungainly and taut, it brings out the blues amazingly. To the cello, I think that is in the art. I think that he did a fantastic job, and I always like listening to him read the voices from around the world that we get to listen to is such a treat, and his pronunciations are always really great too. Between his words, his voice, and the pronunciations, it's a fantastic presentation week after week. And I'm also, he's off on a really big new job, and he's still been slipping in these recordings and stuff for my shows, and I just wanted to make sure I made a point of saying that with all that's going on, I appreciate that you're still sending these in. Titus, thank you very much, and I hope the job's going well. Wayne, what you think?
Well, the person in this poem has a heavy heart with a lot on his plate. A double bass is about as heavy as a load a person can carry. It's hard to rise from such a burden like that. It's a wonderful metaphor that he used in the sadness compared to the double bass and the load he's carrying. It's a lot to overcome. This poem is great with a lot of emotion in it, and I think he did a wonderful job with this. I enjoyed it a lot.
Great comment. And what you think, Hatter?
Yeah, you know, the cello is the, when you hear everybody in a symphony, or symphonic or orchestra, that when they're tuning up, the first sound is traditionally the cello. I think everybody just sort of tunes their instrument to that cello. Bach played cello, Mozart, they all played cello. It was the perfect instrument. The double bass, I thought that was a great effect. I mean, could he be a bass player, Titus? Did he talked very knowledgeable about it.
I guess it's possible, but he could be. I don't know to say yeah or no, but regardless, he seems, I think, knowledgeable in a lot of things, whether he participates or not.
Yeah.
But maybe yeah. if he listens to the show, he'll answer us as to whether he can play. But I think that the cello sometimes has the ability to sound like weeping, if you know what I mean. I think that it went well all the way around. Okay, we have two more to go. The one I put on the board is by Gerald Green. So if you click on that, I'll push play.
Me, written and read by Gerald Green. My life is one of pleasure, sans those daylight hours where the stilted oversee and push the string of labor, expecting more productivity. An hour of sleep erases scars and sets aright the balance for the pleasures of the night. Ah, what lies ahead will waken what has slept, will stir the pot of life with music, drink, and smoke. I live for laughter, smiles, and feelings,
waiting for those silent waves of pleasure pulsing through my brain to reach and hold me in its arms. The world might beat its drum, but mine is louder when the sun goes down and ice cubes sing. I listen to the thunder's echo reverberating my hollowness, shaking this foundation of nothingness. But vanity prevails with its own reward as men are drawn to flesh, and I am viewed as queen. A smile, a touch, a dance or two feeds cravings and relationships that have no meaning, just a scent to bring together thrills and chills. My fixed routine is all I have, allotting beauty what it wants, that carries me from butte to butte in the desert of my nothingness. It's who I am.
Oh, I like the way he ended that. Guess who I am. I thought that was pretty clever there. Me. Great title. And I like how he just dove in. My life is one of pleasure. Sands those daylight hours where the still, where the stilted oversee and push the string of labor, expecting more productivity. But I like that, sands the daylight hours. So it speaks of me being a night owl. I mean, oftentimes I'll walk out the front door and go, oh, bright light, you know, like you just, anyway, I'm definitely a night owl, so parts of this spoke to me. The world might beat its drum, but mine is louder when the sun goes down and ice cubes sing. I love that stanza. And then second to the last stanza as well, a smile, a touch, a dance or two feeds cravings and relationships that have no meaning, just a scent to bring together thrills and chills. It's like, you know, the nights are passing by and she's not really connecting with anybody, but the people are just, they're there with a touch, a smell, a scent, a dance or two. That's who I am. I really like the approach here, and I like the approach that me is female, and he stepped into her stilettos and brought it to life. I live for laughter, smiles, and feelings, waiting for those silent waves of pleasure. I think that this came out fantastic, and he's another one of our poets who... He has such a clear speaking voice, so he does a great job with the recordings, too. And I very, very much appreciate the recording because it's always better to hear the words in the voice of the poet because we get to hear the feelings put where they want us to feel them. And I do feel them when he reads. So fantastic share, Gerald. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, this goes along somewhat with what Titus was reflecting in his. With the music, there's something about the bottom, the drums, the bass, that I always enjoyed. Like the if Wayne, if you remember the Joe Bonamassa's concert at the Royal Albert Hall. He has Boogie Bowes and Anton Figg playing the drums simultaneously. It's a great effect to watch, if you can understand it. The Concert for George has four different, including Ringo Starr, Gipaldi, and I can't remember the other two drummers, but they're playing in sync, and there's something about that. You know, the two cellos do the same thing. The two guys that play the cellos, they eventually, to play big venues in concert, they finally got a good drummer. And I think what Joe is reflecting is the when he's talking about the drums, everybody follows the drums, the bottom. The music climbs to the top. And everybody follows the drum. That's the tempo. slow it down, speed it up. It's all about the drum. Yeah, maybe they got very, I like the way, like you said, I thought he was asking a question. It's who I am. I glanced at it. I thought he was, so who am I? I go, oh, okay. I started looking at it. Okay, what does he mean? He is the, it wasn't. Yeah, this is very good too. Both of them. I listened to the thunder's echo reverberating my hollowness, shaking its foundation of nothingness. Yeah, I invite anybody to go watch the Joe Bonamassa with Boogie Bowes and Anton Figg, who was the drummer for Letterman. David Letterman. They play side by side. The other one is the Concert for George. Excellent. Towards the end of the concert. It's a thing to watch, man. It is really, really good. And good to have Jerry back.
Cool. And Wayne, can you comment?
Yeah, that's a great album. I listened for like 6 months straight. I listened so long on Spotify that Bonamassa sent me a note saying he said he appreciated me listening to it. I must have got a pretty kick back to me listening to it for 3 months straight. But it's a great album. I don't know where y'all see the point, man. I got on my screen, I got Phil the Poet up there, and I don't have Gerald. And it's hard for me to comment on the point. His recording was wonderful. His word was great, but I don't have the ability to comment properly without seeing the poem. And it's not up on my screen. I see Phil's, but I don't see Titus.
It's right between Titus and Phil. Maybe free
for
maybe.
Mine's Titus and right to Phil. There's nothing in between it.
Oh, well, let me put it back up just so that you have it. But on my screen, it says Titus.
Yeah, I grabbed it.
Yeah, okay. Well, I put it up again just so that you can write your comment too, Wayne. I'm sorry about that. I don't know what happened. But, okay, and the last one is on the board now, so click on that, and I will push his recording. And this is Phil the Poet, and here it comes.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called The Lady Sings the Blues. In a smoke-filled bar, a lady breathes into a microphone, singing 12-bar blues of heartaches and being alone. Someone in the corner is weeping into his drink, sobbing like a Les Paul in a slow-hand reprint. The lady sings the blues with a voice like a razor blade, about the hard times, unable to make a trade. Cigarette ash floats in spotlight, revealing stains, while the rhythm and blues rush in like two colliding trains. She screams the high notes like soulful Janis Joplin, entertaining the riffraff with faces of a hobgoblin, lulling the drunkards back to sleep with her tender melody, capturing the blues sound in a sweet rhapsody. She sways the saxophone with eyes full of mist. The lady belts out the blues with a soulful twist, lamenting of a love that walked away like the sunset, leaving behind a broken woman filled with regret. The lady sings the blues because that's all she knows, in a dingy club where the heartache freely flows. On a small sawdust stage in the corner she stands, in a local one-horse town known as the Badlands. End poem.
Awesome. I liked the title there, The Lady Sings the Blues, because it puts the thought of that, I think it's a, well, I'm sure it's a book too, but the movie into the mind. And the quote is, sad eyes rake the sunset with flashing blinks. I think he did a really great job bringing that to life.
Yeah.
From the get-go, in a smoke-filled bar, a lady breathes into a microphone, singing 12 bars blues of heartache and being alone. Someone in the corner is weeping into his drink, sobbing like a Les Paul in a slow hand reprint. I thought that was pretty clever there. And then the second to the last stanza as well, she sways to the saxophone with eyes full of mist. The lady belts out the blues with a soulful twist, lamenting of love that walked away like the sunset, leaving behind a broken woman filled with regret. The you could almost picture her swaying there, and you could feel the sorrow and the regret for her, with her, in a dingy club where heartache freely flows. And it's like that blues joint where, you know, everybody's weeping into their glass, and the songs are reminding them of maybe a love lost or some sadness from their life. I think that he did a really excellent job. And I know he hadn't been feeling really well, so I appreciate that he made the recording, and I hope that means he's feeling a little bit better. But thank you very much, Phil. And Wayne, what you think?
Well, if she sang the blues like Phil wrote this poem, Janet will have to move over, because she can definitely sing the blues. Great descriptions, wonderful emotions. Phil has a way of getting his view wrote down perfectly, and he painted a wonderful picture this time. I'm going to turn the blues up the show and try to catch the mood of this poem. Such a wonderful job. Coming in, interesting hearing the blues now. He did wonderful on this poem. Great job.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, can you comment for Phil?
Yeah, Lady Singing Blues. That was Diana Ross playing Billie Holiday, I think, wasn't it?
I only remember that it was Diana Ross. I don't remember for sure. It could be.
Yeah,
you could be
playing,
right.
She's playing Billie Holiday, the blues. So, I love that line. Lady Sings the Blues, that's all she knows. And then goes on describing why that was great. She screams the high note like a soulful Janis Joplin. Janis Joplin, when she first heard, blew people away. It was like Jimi Hendrix being playing his guitar and just, we got to find out another way to play our instruments with Jimi Hendrix. And the same with Janis. The thing with Janis is she was ostracized by her family for because she was a like a Baptist choir singer. That's where she had very soulful. And when she went back home from after being with the hippies, a lot of family members and such sort of didn't like that, which is sad because Janis Joplin is unique.
Yes, she was.
I love it. Yeah. There's no other way to describe it. This is very good. All these last ones are very good. Phil doesn't let us down. And I didn't know he was not feeling well.
Yeah, he had come back from Paris, and he needed a reader because he had a really sore throat. So I hope that, if he had to get a sore throat and not feel well, that it was at the very end of his trip and it, didn't take away from his trip with his wife. But anyway, yeah, fantastic share. Mm-hmm. And I see that Hatter brought us a poem from the vault.
Yeah.
But real quick, before we get to that, I put a link on the board for my show for next week. We'll be featuring quotes by Poetic Picasso, some stuff I chose from Frank's poems. And the artist that I found, his name is Steve Goad, and he's got some very interesting art. And I took a wide variety of the stuff that he had to offer. If you didn't already choose your art, go ahead and grab that. Sign up and choose your quote, and I look forward to seeing what his words inspire for us. And before I do the closeout, let's see what Hatter brought.
Yeah, I did for Gresh's show. I'll read this one. I don't think he's ever heard it. I'm not sure. I've been here once before, the day I left for music. It goes like this. Something fills the room as I'm walking through the door, flooding with many memories like I've been here once before. packing bags against the wall, tattered quarters and locks, ticking noises down the hall, countdown of a clock. Dancing prisms fill the walls, windows with flowered lace, photographs of history, close-ups of familiar face. The writing of a song, going double gold, signing by the band, 2 million copies sold. The day I left for music, the day I left for fame, this room was where it all began, selling of my name. Something fills the room as I'm walking through the door, searching for the memories like I've been here once before. What music?
Awesome.
Yeah.
I like the picture that you have in there too, but the title's cool. I've been here once before. I left for the music. Very, very cool title. And I like, where's that? The writing of a song is going double gold, signed by the band, 2 million copies sold. The day I left for music, the day I left for fame, this room is where it all began, the selling of my name. You know, one day we'll look back at that poem, or this poem, and we could be talking about the word you cannot say playing on the radio. Just saying. But I like I like that you did the short rhyme lines, and you set the tone. And 2014, wow. I've been reading your poems for a long time, Mr. Hatter. It was a good choice for
that. I think if I remember right. I see if Grass signed it. It was either If or Grass, or there was a reason. Well, it was all about deja vu. It was about you're always going to come home at some time. You leave home, you do world tours, you know, you become rich and famous, all this, but you always come back to that room where it all changed the second it changed. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Musicians are funky, fickle people. That's all I got to say.
Absolutely. What you think, Wayne?
Oh, man, I think it's a wonderful poem. I've heard it once before. You know, to be a star like that, to turn to a star like that and get a cool album, you know, you got to deal with the manager, the media, the freeloaders, the groupies, the salesman. There's no peace and quiet.
Yeah.
You got pressure writing another poem. You know, it's a lot of pressure on being a star like that. But you did a good job with this poem, and I can feel the pressure as I read it. Great job with this poem.
Yeah, it's like the movie Almost Famous. If nobody's seen that, go find it and play it. It's great. It's about 17-year-old kid or 15-year-old kid. I think he's 15 at the time. Becomes a writer for Rolling Stone. And travels around with the band. I think it's Little River, but it's Little River Band. That doesn't sound right. Deep Water. Yeah, I think it's Little River Band. They play the Deep Water. But describes, like you said, Wayne, the groupies. Penny Lane is not a groupie. She's a band aid. It gets sold by the band in a poker game to Humble Pie for a case of Heineken. almost famous. It follows Led Zeppelin around, so it's a great movie.
I like Kate Hudson. She's one of my
Kate
favorite
Hudson.
Actors. Goldie Hawn's daughter. Okay, so on that note, Wayne, I appreciate you hanging out all night. Thank you.
Cool bean.
And I want to say thanks to Grassman for hanging on as long as you could. I wasn't sure you'd be able to get here at all, so the fact that you lasted as long as you did is fantastic. I know that you get up really, really early, and I appreciate you and all the inspiration that your words provided for us for tonight. I want to thank the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. I want to thank the amazing board members, AP and Sweet P and Hatter. And I want to say thank you to Kay and Steven and Angel and Oliver and Titus and Wayne again and Jenny and Pee Wee and Gerald and Phil and Chaos. It's always nice to get to hang out with you guys, and it's awesome to hear your work. And the poetry that the words of Grassman inspired was fantastic. And often one quote that stands out the most, but tonight a lot of the quotes were used, a lot of multiple quotes. And Wayne, again, that recording, the background music, it was a fantastic share tonight.
Yeah, Heather, you check this to listen to my recording, Heather.
What's that?
This is my recording I had tonight. I think you like it. I think you like my recording tonight if you listen to it.
Yeah. It was fantastic. And I think that a lot of the poetry tonight spoke of the blues, as did the art by the artist and the words from Gress. Like I had mentioned when we were on the show, just seeing the art and the hat that was in most of the pictures, it was the first time I ever saw a picture of Gress in real life. He was wearing that hat. So I was really thrilled that he was so delighted by the artist. You are all amazing poets. Don't let anybody tell you different. And were you trying to say something, Wayne?
I think it's Heather. A great show tonight, though.
Yeah. I was going to say, the music, besides musicians being a fickle bunch, music is a gift from the heavens, man. I mean, it tames the beast. I couldn't have imagined no music.
No, me
it's
either.
Complicated.
Say the music.
Yeah,
complicated
and simple at the same time.
Positively. All right. Well, on that note, we are in overtime, and I got to get off the phone. So I'm just looking real quick just to be sure before I say it. I don't think that there's a show tomorrow, but I want to double check real quick. Tomorrow is the 16th.
If it's a hole, I'll maybe do a music show. Or maybe.
I was going to say,
I've got the lag.
Yeah, you'll probably still be sleeping, trying to recover from your jet lag. But okay, so just remember that Sweet's show is about Trapped, and Friday's Open Poetry, and Saturday's Milk, and beyond that, we'll play it by ear, because I still have to fit in a meeting to do the contest for the foundation and get that judged, because we couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. But on that note, thanks again, everyone. Love and respect. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Good night.
Try,
get some sleep.
Try to suggest.
Huh?
Talk later. I said dress. I'm sorry I missed you.
All right. Well, go to bed, Hatter. Talk soon. Love and respect, everyone. We're out of here.